Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. Let's turn now to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Fred this morning is speaking on the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. And we'll take up the reading from verse 20. Again, the word of the Lord, which says, Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked her a favour of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When they turned head about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's turn a few pages further and we'll go to chapter 26. We'll take up the reading from verse 47. The context is just before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we'll read to verse 54. Again, the word of the Lord, where it says, While he, that is Jesus, was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, Friend, do what you have come for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled and say it must happen in this way? Thanks for it.
Thanks, Ben, for bringing us so far. And I'd just like to repeat, you mentioned already the text, but I'm preaching already for a while on the Beatitudes, on Jesus' Beatitudes, as you find them in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's in Matthew 5. And I'd just like to read that verse again that we'll focus on today, and that is verse 5 of Matthew 5, where it says, Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Try to imagine a church where everybody is convinced that only they have it right. Doctrinally, they have it all together, for they stick to what their fathers believed. And that brought them to the conclusion, we are the true church, and with all other churches, there's something wrong. Now, you might think that's rather arrogant to think that. But friends, religion tends to make you think that way. And you'll be amazed how many churches and groups and cults hold that position. Anyway, say that in such a community, someone stands up and says, people, you've got it all wrong. You are not what you think you are, the small elected bunch, the only faithful ones on earth. You haven't even understood the essentials of what the Bible teaches about God and you. Now, what do you think? How would, in such a company, a message like that be received? It's easy to guess. I think initially with unbelief. What is he saying there? But soon, this unbelief turns into anger. How dare he say such things? And the next step soon follows. Kick him out. We don't want to hear this. Well, friends, that is the kind of response Jesus received from many people to his Sermon on the Mount. It was so different from anything they'd ever heard that they were flabbergasted. He was teaching about God and the kingdom of heaven. Well, that was okay. They wanted to hear him about that. But what he had to say raised a lot of brows. See, the people of Israel were all convinced of this. We are the special people of God. We are the legal heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And once the whole earth will be given to us, for we are entitled to it. And we will fight for our rights if we have to. But Jesus, in his Beatitudes, right from the start, undermines this whole way of thinking. He kicks their security right away, just like by saying, those who think that they have a right to the kingdom of heaven will never enter it. Because this blessing only goes to people with a broken spirit, with a mourning heart, with a meek attitude. Now, this is not just teaching that you just nod your approval to and say, okay, yes, learn something new today. No, this challenges your whole natural way of thinking. In other words, the Sermon on the Mount requires a complete rethinking of all that you know and that all that you have held onto so far. And unless you are prepared to do that on the authority of Jesus, you have no part in this kingdom. Our title for the message is The Kingdom of Heaven is Given to Humble Heirs. Now, there were at last two reasons why the Jews of Jesus' time couldn't get their head around his teaching. And the first one was that since the beginning of Israel's history, the thought was ingrained in their mind that they were God's special people. God had made a covenant only with them. Now, there was a lot of truth in that, but he had missed one point. That covenant was also calling for the obedience of their hearts. And without this obedience, they would still miss out, no matter how many promises they thought they had. A second reason why the Jews found it hard to understand what Jesus was saying had to do with their current situation. See, in Jesus' time, the Romans had submitted him. Israel had lost its freedom as a nation, and they hated it. They were longing with all their heart for someone to stand up and lead them in a rebellion against Rome and regain Israel's liberty. Now, they were realistic enough to know that they could never do that in their own strength. It needed a miraculous intervention by God. God needed to send a Messiah, a new son of David, who would restore the kingdom for Israel. And the Bible had made a promise about that. Now, Jesus seemed to be the man to fit their expectation of such a Messiah. Now, because there was no doubt that he had access to powers that were of divine origin. He healed every sickness and disease. He released people from the power of evil spirits. Paraplegics could walk just by one word of him. Wouldn't it be fantastic if Jesus would become their king? One word of him, and all the Roman soldiers would be turned powerless. Well, with that expectation in the air, no wonder that Jesus attracts the crowds from all over Israel. Because they expect he will make a fist against the hated oppressors. Let's go and listen to what he has to say. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What? Blessed are the meek. What good for us can meek people achieve? They are the last ones who can help us in the fight against the powers in control. See, what we need is not meek people, but people who don't take it any longer, who resist. What we need is a strong man who can lead us to freedom. Now, before we go any further, let's first ask ourselves, what is the meekness Jesus means? Now, being meek is somewhat different from being poor in spirit. We recently saw what that was. If you realize who you are in God's eyes, no more than a miserable sinner, you become poor in spirit. You think nothing of yourself anymore. You consider yourself a nobody. That is being poor in spirit. But in being meek, your focus is not so much on yourself and on what you are or what you're not, but rather on God and his holiness. You realize his almighty power to achieve exactly what he wants to achieve. And you tremble. That's meekness. See, you know that if anything is achieved at all in this world, it has to be by God and his power. And if he doesn't do it, his people have no hope. But if he makes a promise, you can rely on him to achieve it. He is who he is. Now, if you want to have an example of a meek man, think of Moses. In Numbers 12 that we read this morning, he is referred to as a very humble man. More humble, it says, than anyone else on the face of the earth. In the King James Version, it says, Moses was the meekest man on all the earth. Mind you, that was not Moses' character. He wasn't born like that. When he was a prince in Egypt, he killed an Egyptian who had abused an Hebrew man. No meekness in Moses then. But his 40 years in the desert had taught him meekness. He had learned to be totally dependent on God and his power. So being meek has nothing to do with being weak or soft or fearful by character. No, being meek is thinking nothing of your own strength and at the same time expecting everything from God's power, the power of Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even can imagine. With the word of the Apostle Paul. Now back to Moses. See, his faith gave him the meekness to confront the mighty Pharaoh from Egypt. That was a risky thing to do. One word of Pharaoh, Moses was a dead man. But Moses didn't come in his own strength. He confronted Pharaoh in the name of his God Yahweh. And he did not fear, because he believed in God's power. And that's meekness. And that meekness stayed with him for most part of his life. During all the challenges that Israel had to face in the desert, lack of water, lack of food, enemies coming, things like that, Moses stayed a meek man. He relied fully on the power of God. Only at the very last point of his life, somehow, he got angry and lost some of his meekness. And because of that, he couldn't enter the promised land. Meekness, that's the kind of quality that God looks for in people to lead the nation. God seeks leaders who don't put any confidence in the flesh at all. Again, that's meekness. Put no confidence in the flesh. Never rely on your own strength or your cleverness or your experience, but look up to God and trust Him for giving power to your words and to your deeds. That is the secret of the kingdom of God. But it's so hard to understand or to apply for people like you and me. For we are always inclined to think in terms of human power and glory. Even Jesus' disciples had a problem with that. They had witnessed for about 3 years all that Jesus had said and done. And yet they still had no clue about the upside down values of the kingdom of God. We read a story about the sons of Zebedee. Within the circle of Jesus' 12 disciples, they, the sons of Zebedee, together with Peter, were Jesus' closest friends. By now, they should have understood what Jesus was on about, but they had missed it completely. They thought the kingdom of Jesus would be one of power and glory for them. They liked to sit at his right and at his left hand when he would be on his throne. Now what a thing to ask. You've no clue what you're asking, says Jesus. You're looking for glory, but you have to look the other way. I came to serve, and so will you. I came to suffer, and so will you. No thrones in my kingdom, friends, but servant works and sometimes tough experiences. That is what you should count on if you follow me. Now the 10 other disciples were indignant with John and James. Not because they thought it was completely wrong to ask such a thing, but they thought it was unfair of them to try and jump the queue. The greatest example of meekness, of course, is Jesus himself. He would never do anything of his own bat. But for every action he looked up to his Father. Father, all power is yours. Mine is just obedience to your guidance. And today we read too Matthew's account of Jesus' arrest. And even then his disciples did not understand what meekness meant. Peter, in his love for the Lord, grabbed his sword and started to defend his master. Jesus says, Peter, put your sword back in its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. And then Jesus shows what meekness is. And then he says this, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. See, Jesus knows about the power of God available. Of course, God can come to his help and defend him and take him away from that nasty situation. But Jesus chooses not to do it. For his mission needs to be completed. The scriptures need to be fulfilled. He needs to be led to the slaughter like a lamb without protesting, completely entrusting the outcome to God. That is the meekness of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus confirms the same when he stands in front of Pontius Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. That's what we all have to understand, friends. The kingdom of God is not a visible kingdom or a place on earth somewhere where ultimately human rules apply. No, it is a spiritual kingdom with its own values and rules. Now, people today can become citizens of his kingdom by submitting their life to the king, that is, to Jesus Christ. In his absolute meekness, he not only gained the throne of his kingdom, but he also inherited the whole earth, like promised to the meek. His father gave it to Jesus as a reward for his obedience and complete trust in God. And the good news for us, friends, is this. We can be co-heirs with him, with Jesus Christ. As I said at the moment, the kingdom of heaven is merely a spiritual kingdom. You can only enter it by faith, by repenting of your old life and asking for the new life in Christ. And by being born again, you are given access. But one day, this kingdom will be even more than that. What now is merely spiritual will once be a visible, a tangible reality. One day, the earth that we live on will be reserved for God's people only. It will be given to Jesus' co-heirs. Now think a moment of that word, heirs. You know what's special about an inheritance? You cannot deserve it. You cannot work your way into it. You're an heir, or you're not. And the only difference with an earthly inheritance and a spiritual inheritance is that though you're not a born heir to this kingdom, you can become an heir during your life on earth. How? By personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith in him will make you a meek person, not relying on your own strength or efforts, but expecting everything from the great power of God. Now the question, of course, is, do you really believe that? Are you that meek person who is the humble heir? Think about this. What risks are you prepared to take for the sake of your faith in Jesus Christ? How do you listen to the word of God? Critically, always trying to argue against it, or with an open mind? What can I learn from this? What's God saying here? See, that is meekness. How do you react when people attack you or criticize you or offend you? Are you ready to defend yourself or your cause? Or are you prepared to turn the other cheek when someone wants to hurt you? If yes, then you must be meek. For meek people do not defend themselves, do not revenge themselves, but trust that it's in the power of the Lord to set the matter straight and leave it to him. Let's return for a moment to that story of Moses. don't know whether you picked it up, but when Aaron and Miriam were speaking against Moses and complaining about him and having all kind of criticisms of him, then it says there, and I find it quite threateningly to read that, it said, "And the Lord heard all this." Moses had heard it too. But Moses knew the Lord had heard all this, and Moses left it to the Lord to step in for him. That's meekness. Now, if you have that kind of meekness, then you are to be congratulated. You'll have a place on the new earth, for blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus, who is the truth, can safely be taken on his word. Believe him. Amen. Let me see whether we had planned a song here. Not at this point. So we'll do that a bit later. So then first I'd like to lead you in a prayer and make just a few announcements before that. First announcement is a joyful announcement.